Welcome back to the deep dive. Okay, so if you're living in the modern world, you know the feeling, right? The constant pings, the never-ending information scroll.
Oh, yeah, that feeling of just being pulled in a million directions at once.
Exactly. And it often leaves us feeling, well, a bit overwhelmed, maybe scattered, definitely mentally tired.
It's a huge challenge, no doubt. This digital flood we're in, it offers a lot, sure, but it has a real cognitive price tag. We're seeing this widespread mental fatigue, attention spans getting shorter, memory maybe not feeling quite as sharp. It's like our brains are constantly juggling too much.
You've nailed it. That's what so many people are experiencing. But, and this is the really exciting part, neuroscience isn't just pointing out the problem.
Right.
It's actually offering real, solid, science-backed solutions. So today, we're doing a deep dive into those techniques. Stuff to help strengthen your memory, sharpen focus, and hopefully reclaim some mental clarity.
And our main guide for this is a fantastic resource called Brain Boost, Science-Backed Strategies for Memory and Focus. What's great about it is how it blends the research insights with really practical, doable exercises, things you can actually fit into your day. Think of like a roadmap.
Perfect. So, our mission today, for you listening, is to pull out the key strategies from this material, the actionable stuff.
Yeah, the takeaways.
Consider this your shortcut to getting informed, maybe finding some surprising facts, and really getting equipped to boost your brain power. Let's start with a core idea that really changes how you think about your brain.
Absolutely. The foundation that Brain Booth lays down is crucial. Your brain isn't fixed. It's not static hardware.
Right, not like it just is what it is.
Exactly. It's incredibly dynamic. It's constantly rewiring itself based on what you do, what you think, your experiences. This amazing ability is called neuroplasticity.
Neuroplasticity.
So picture your brain less like a computer chip and more like a living network, adaptable, capable of growing stronger, making new connections, even recovering from some damage. And this happens at any age.
That's huge because we often hear about inevitable decline, don't we?
We do. But understanding neuroplasticity flips that script. It's empowering.
Okay, so if our brains are so adaptable, why the fuzziness? Why the struggle to focus sometimes? What's working against this natural ability?
Good question. The book points to a few major culprits that really undermine our brain's best work. Things like chronic stress, not getting enough quality sleep.
Ah, sleep. Knew that would come up.
Always does. And of course, the digital overload we mentioned. These aren't just annoyances. They actually create a kind of neurochemical environment that makes it harder for the brain to learn and focus efficiently.
So before we get into the fixes, the book suggests figuring out your starting point, like a baseline.
Exactly, a mental baseline test. It's smart because how do you know if you're improving if you don't know where you started?
Makes sense. What does it involve?
It's pretty straightforward. You set a timer, say for 5 minutes, and just list as many animals as you can think of. Then maybe read a short article, put it aside, and try to jot down all the details you remember. No peeking back.
And the key is writing it down.
Absolutely. Record your scores, how many animals, how many details. This isn't just casual, it's your benchmark. Later, when you try these strategies, you can compare and see real, tangible progress. It makes it personal.
I like that. Okay, let's shift to attention. It feels like our most fought-over resource these days. How does the brain even manage to focus at all with everything coming at it?
It's pretty amazing, actually. Your brain has this built-in filtering system. It's called selective attention.
Selective attention.
Think of it like a bouncer for your brain. It stands at the door of your awareness, deciding what gets in from the massive flood of sights, sounds, thoughts, and what stays out.
So it filters out the noise?
Essentially, yes. Evolutionarily, it helped us spot the predator in the bushes, you know? Today, it's battling email pings and social media alerts, all fighting for that same spotlight.
And that brings us to the big myth, multitasking. We all try it, maybe even brag about it sometimes.
Oh, definitely. We think we're being super efficient.
But Brain Boost says nope.
Pretty much nope. It reveals that what we call multitasking is mostly just rapid task switching. And here's the kicker. Switching back and forth like that can slash your efficiency by up to 40%.
40%, that's huge. What's happening in the brain during that switch?
Well, that 40% reflects the cognitive cost. Your prefrontal cortex, the brain's CEO, basically has to disengage from task A, load up task B, then maybe switch back again.
Right.
Each switch takes time and mental energy. You lose focus, context gets fuzzy, errors creep in. You're paying a heavy mental tax every time you switch.
So what's the alternative? The book must suggest something.
It does. A single task challenge.
Okay. Sounds simple enough.
It is, but powerful. You pick one thing, could be email, reading, anything, set a timer, maybe 20 minutes, like the Pomodoro technique.
Ah, yes, the Pomodoro bursts.
Exactly. And for that 20 minutes, you eliminate all other distractions. No phone, no other tabs open, just that one task. And then you journal about it. Just a quick note, how did it feel? How much did you get done compared to when you usually try to juggle things? Feeling that difference is key.
Right. Experiencing the focus.
Right.
Okay, let's move from attention to memory. It's not just one thing, is it? The book breaks it down.
Correct. It's not monolithic at all. Brain Boost differentiates clearly between two main types. First, there's working memory.
Working memory, like RAM in a computer.
Sort of. It's your mental workbench.
Yep.
It's where you hold information right now to actively work with it, like remembering a phone number while you dial. But it's limited. Doesn't hold much for long.
Okay, and the other type?
That's long-term memory. This is your vast archive. Childhood memories, skills you've learned, facts. That's all stored there much more durably.
And there's a specific part of the brain that's crucial for moving stuff from the workbench to the archive, right?
Yes, absolutely central. It's the hippocampus.
The seahorse-shaped bit?
That's the one. Deep inside. Think of the hippocampus as the brain's sorting office or intake desk for new declarative memories, facts, events.
So it processes them first.
Exactly. It helps consolidate that information before it gets shipped off for more permanent storage elsewhere in the cortex.
Hmm.
If your hippocampus is damaged, making new long-term memories becomes incredibly difficult.
Wow. Okay, so how do we learn smarter then, working with this system? The book mentions something called the spacing effect.
Ah, yes. This is gold for anyone who's ever pulled an all-nighter cramming.
Guilty.
We've all been there. The spacing effect is the proven idea that reviewing information at spaced-out intervals is way, way better for long-term recall than cramming.
How does that work? Why is spacing better?
It taps into how your brain actually builds strong memories. Each time you recall the information after a break, maybe an hour later than a day, then a few days, you force your brain to reconstruct the memory trace. This strengthens the connections. Cramming is like trying to build a house overnight. Spacing is like laying a solid foundation and reinforcing it over time.
That makes so much sense. Is there an exercise for this?
Yep, the spaced recall exercise. You learn something new, say, 10 vocabulary words or key facts. Then you deliberately review them at those increasing intervals. 1 hour, 1 day, 3 days, 1 week. Track how well you remember them each time. It really cements the learning.
Okay, fascinating. Now let's talk fuel. Food for focus. Our brains are hungry beasts, right?
Incredibly hungry. Uses about 20% of our daily calories, even though it's only a small part of our body weight. So what you eat directly impacts its performance.
What are the superstars? What nutrients does the book highlight?
Several key ones. Omega-3 fatty acids, especially DHA, vital for brain cell structure and communication.
It's like in fish oil.
Exactly. Also, antioxidants, think berries, leafy greens, they protect brain cells from damage, kind of like rust-proofing. Then there's magnesium, important for nerve signals, and choline, which helps make a key memory neurotransmitter.
Okay, got it. Any basic fuels we forget about?
Absolutely. Two critical ones, hydration and glucose. Your brain runs primarily on glucose, so stable blood sugar is key. And even mild dehydration can mess with your focus and energy levels significantly. Drink water.
Simple but crucial. And what about the flip side? The focus drains. Things to avoid.
The usual suspects, really. Excess sugar and highly processed carbs are major ones.
Ah, the sugar crash fog.
Precisely. They cause those energy spikes and crashes that leave your brain struggling. And alcohol, of course, directly impacts neurotransmitter function.
So how do we figure out our personal food triggers?
The Brain Fuel Journal exercise is great for this. For just 3 days, track what you eat. Then about an hour after each meal, quickly rate your energy and focus levels.
Aha, so you connect the food to the feeling.
Exactly. You start to see your patterns, which foods give you sustained energy and which ones lead to that afternoon slump.
Smart. Okay, next up, sleep. The unsung hero, you called it. Not just rest, but memory consolidation.
Totally. We often think of sleep as just switching off, but your brain is incredibly active, especially during certain stages.
Which stages are most important for memory?
Two key ones mentioned are REM sleep. That's when you dream vividly. Your brain is consolidating emotional memories, then replaying things. And deep sleep. the really slow wave stuff. That's crucial for moving memories from the hippocampus to long-term storage, and also for clearing out metabolic waste from the brain.
Like a cleanup crew.
Exactly like that. So if you consistently skimp on sleep, you build up sleep debt. It doesn't just make you groggy. It directly hurts your ability to learn, focus, and make good decisions.
The book mentions a 90-minute rule for sleep cycles.
Yeah, that's about structuring your sleep time in multiples of roughly 90 minutes, which is the average length of a full sleep cycle, through light, deep, and REM sleep. Waking up at the end of a cycle rather than in the middle of deep sleep can help you feel more refreshed.
Interesting. And the exercise for better sleep?
It's called the sleep reset. It's a week-long commitment. You aim for 7 to 9 hours nightly with really consistent bedtimes and wake times. Yes, even on weekends.
Ouch. Consistency is key.
It really is. And crucially, no screens for at least an hour before bed. The blue light messes with melatonin.
Right.
Then you track things like, did you remember any dreams? How was your focus the next day? You really start to feel the profound impact of good sleep.
I can imagine. Okay, link to feeling good. Movement for mental clarity. Exercise isn't just for the body.
Not at all. It's a powerful brain booster. One major way is through aerobic exercise, anything that gets your heart rate up.
Like running or swimming.
Exactly. It significantly increases blood flow to the brain. More blood means more oxygen, more nutrients, and better waste removal. It optimizes the whole environment up there.
And it's not just cardio. Strength training helps too.
Yes. This is really interesting. Strength training has been shown to boost levels of BDNF.
BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor. Sounds complex.
It sounds fancy, but think of it like Miracle-Gro for your brain cells.
Okay. Fertilizer for neurons.
Pretty much. BDNF supports the growth, survival, and connection of neurons. It helps your brain build and maintain its network. So lifting weights literally helps build your brain.
Wow. And what about things like yoga or Tai Chi?
The book highlights those mind-body practices too. They combine movement with focus and breath work, which is great for reducing stress and improving mental clarity.
So the exercise for this, how do we put it into practice?
The brain-body boost? It's simple. Commit to 30 minutes of brisk walking 3 times a week.
Manageable.
Totally.
Yeah.
And after each walk, just jot down how clear-headed you feel. Notice if distractions seem less intrusive. Connect the walk to the mental benefit.
Good connection. Now, a big one, stress. We know it's bad, but the book has a pretty stark warning about cortisol in the hippocampus.
It really does. This is one of those facts that stops you in your tracks. Chronic exposure to high levels of cortisol, the main stress hormone, can actually shrink your hippocampus.
Shrink it, the memory center.
Yeah. It can damage neurons and reduce the birth of new ones in that critical area. Mm-hmm. So long-term, unmanaged stress isn't just unpleasant. It can literally erode your capacity for memory and emotional regulation.
That's alarming. Okay, so how do we fight back against chronic stress?
The good news is we have tools. Practices like mindfulness meditation and deliberate breath work are incredibly effective at dialing down the stress response. They help activate the parasympathetic nervous system, the rest and digest system.
And there's a specific breathing technique mentioned, box breathing.
Yes, box breathing is super simple and very effective for calming down quickly. You just inhale slowly for a count of 4, hold your breath gently for 4, exhale slowly for 4, and hold the breath out for 4.
Inhale 4, hold 4, exhale 4, hold 4, like drawing a box with your breath.
Exactly. Repeating that cycle for just a few minutes can make a noticeable difference in your stress levels and bring back focus almost immediately.
Worth trying. Okay, another modern minefield. Digital discipline. Those apps are designed to hook us, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely engineered for it. They tap into the brain's dopamine loop, that little hit of pleasure or novelty you get from a notification or a new post.
It keeps you coming back for more.
Precisely. It creates this compulsive checking behavior.
Yep.
And every time you get pulled away, every notification, it's another instance of that costly task switching we talked about. Yeah. It just fragments your attention relentlessly.
So in a world built to distract, how do we take back control?
Brain Boost suggests deliberate strategies, things like scheduling digital detox periods, maybe an evening or a weekend offline, or using time blocking, setting specific times for checking email or social media rather than letting it interrupt you constantly.
Creating boundaries.
Exactly. It's about being intentional. Mm-hmm. A great starting point is the tech-free hour exercise.
1 hour, no screens.
Yep. Pick 1 hour each day. Turn off the phone, close the laptop, use that time for reading a physical book, journaling, going for a walk, just thinking.
And again, track the effect.
You got it. Note how your mind feels before and after. You'll likely notice a sense of calm and clarity building up. Mm-hmm. It reinforces the value of disconnecting.
Okay, now for some fun stuff. Memory techniques that work. These sound like mental magic tricks.
Huh. They can feel like it, but they're actually based on how our brains naturally learn best. Our brains love novelty, emotion, images, and connections.
So these techniques tap into that.
Exactly. Things like visualization, creating really vivid mental pictures of what you want to remember. Storytelling, weaving facts into a narrative, makes them much stickier. Chunking, breaking big pieces of info into smaller bits, like phone numbers, and mnemonics, acronyms, rhymes, songs.
Making it meaningful or weird helps it stick.
Totally. The more engaging or unusual, the better your brain remembers it.
And there's that ancient one, the method of loci, the memory palace.
Ah, the memory palace. It's brilliant. It leverages our incredibly strong spatial memory, our ability to remember places.
How does it work? Exactly. You choose a place you know extremely well, like your house or the walk to work. Then you mentally place the items you want to remember at specific spots along that route or in different rooms.
So you associate the item with the location.
Yes. Say you need to remember a shopping list. Milk, bread, eggs. You might vividly imagine spilling milk by your front door, seeing a giant loaf of bread on the living room sofa, and finding eggs cracked on your kitchen counter.
Okay, I can picture that.
Then, to recall the list, you just mentally walk through your palace. As you pass each spot, the associated item pops back into your mind. It sounds complex, but it's surprisingly effective once you try it. The book has an exercise, Build a Memory Palace, to get you started with maybe 5-10 items.
Very cool. Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground: attention, memory, food, sleep, stress, digital habits, techniques. The final step seems to be putting it all together, creating your brain boost routine.
Precisely. The real power isn't in just doing one of these things occasionally. It's about the synergy.
Synergy, meaning they work better together.
Exactly. Consistent good sleep makes focused training easier. Good nutrition fuels memory consolidation. Exercise reduces stress, which protects the hippocampus. It's all interconnected.
So how do you build a routine without it feeling overwhelming?
The book suggests starting small. Maybe create a simple daily checklist with one or two actions from different areas. Track your progress over, say, 30 days. Build momentum.
And for the really committed?
There's the 30-day brain boost challenge. This involved picking one exercise from each main area we discussed. Adapt them to fit your life, of course, and doing them consistently for a month.
And keeping that journal.
Absolutely. Keep the memory and focus journal. Then, at the end of the 30 days, you retake that initial mental baseline test.
Ah, to see the difference.
Exactly. To see the tangible results of your efforts. It's incredibly motivating.
Wow. Okay, so that brings us near the end of this deep dive into Brain Boost. The big takeaway for me is that our brains are way more capable of improvement than we might think.
Absolutely. Neuroplasticity is real. You really can sharpen your memory, lengthen your attention span, and boost your overall mental performance by applying these science-backed strategies consistently.
It's not about quick fixes, though, is it?
Definitely not. This isn't about finding some magic pill or a 5-minute hack. It's about building sustainable habits. It's an investment in nurturing your most valuable asset, your brain.
A long-term investment. So as we wrap up, here's a final thought for you, our listener, to chew on. Imagine your daily life, your work, your creativity, your ability to solve problems. How might that change if you consistently carved out even just a little time for these brain-boosting practices?
Yeah, what new doors might open? What could you achieve or create if you actively cultivated your mental potential? It's a powerful question to consider.
Indeed. We really hope this deep dive has given you some practical tools and maybe some inspiration to start that journey. Thanks for joining us.